Well, I wouldn't know, friends, if you've ever taken the time or the trouble to read God's Word for yourself, the Bible that is, you know, referred to as the Holy Bible, the Holy Scriptures, because you see, come from a holy God, given to humankind, given to us for our comfort, you know, and for hope. And hope, of course, not just for this world, but, well, for the world to come. Not many people in our society today who fit into that category, into that bracket. Only those, of course, who read the Bible and believe the Bible, you know, take God at His Word. Well, perhaps, maybe you've never read it for yourself. I'd like to give you the opportunity this afternoon of receiving a copy of the entirety of the New Testament offered to you freely without cost or obligation to you, yours, to take and do with as you will. It is, after all, when said and done, it is God's Word, and it has the ability not only to comfort, to give hope, but to bring salvation to those, that is, who believe, who trust in the name of God's only Son, Jesus Christ. So if you'd like a copy of the New Testament, please do feel free to come and ask for one. Bible, of course, is God's instruction manual, the maker's manual. You know, if something's wrong with your motor car, I guess the first thing you do is you take out the manual. You read the maker's instructions, you know, because, well, you know, if you're not going according to those, well, you can't expect your car to function properly. Well, it should be evident, obvious to everyone in the world today that for some reason, somehow, humankind isn't exactly functioning according to the Maker's manual. So if we want to find out what's wrong, you know, where the cause lies, then we have to turn to the Maker's manual, to the Bible, the Holy Bible. And it's here, of course, that we find, well, the instruction that we need. You know, the sole final authority, God's Word. No higher authority in all the universe, over all your scientific books, historical books, and all the rest of it, the Word of God. God's inspired and breathed out Word. This is the authority that we need. And God, of course, reveals to us Himself, the only place you can come to a true knowledge of the true and living God is, well, His own revelation. But God reveals not only Himself, He reveals ourselves too, what we are truly like. Problem is, you see, friends, we look at ourselves through the mirror on the wall. And the mirror on the wall tells you the same lie each and every time, that you're the fairest of them all, because the mirror on the wall can only see the outward image. It doesn't see into your innermost being. But were you to turn to God's Word and see the reflection of yourself in the mirror of God's law, then you find a different story altogether, because God sees into the heart, you see, and there he sees the reflection of all the bad stuff that you see in your world today, because this is where it comes from, out of the hearts of men and women such as yourself and myself. Out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, says Jesus. Murder, blasphemy, sexual immorality, and so on. And of course, friends, multiplied throughout the whole human race, that makes for a pretty uncomfortable world to live in. But You want to make the world good. You want to make the man good. You want to make the fruit good. You got to make the tree good, says Jesus. So you want to make the man good. You got to make the heart good. You got to change the heart. And of course, well, the Bible tells us only God can do that. That would take a miracle. That would take a supernatural act of God to do that. But that's exactly what God proposes. That's exactly what God offers in the gospel, to take the stony heart out of you and to give you a heart of flesh, to give you a new heart. And of course, to give you, with God, a new start and a new beginning. It's the heart, you see, that's the heart of the problem. And of course, here lies the reason why the Bible, with its message, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, is so unacceptable in this day and generation. Because it does address the heart. Because it requires a heart change. It requires that which you cannot do yourself. Or you can do religion yourself, but you can't do the gospel yourself. That's God's doing. It's only God, you see, who can change the nature of a man or a woman. Conceived in sin is the way God puts it. Conceived and born in sin, with sinful natures that are in love with sin, that delight in sin. That's the problem, you see. You love the stuff, you love the sin, you love the darkness, says God, and that's why you won't come to the light, because your deeds are evil. But here's the thing, friends. God, in the gospel, in the good news concerning His Son, Jesus Christ, offers salvation, offers a new nature. A nature changed, one that loves God, delights in that which is good, delights in that which is wholesome, that which is holy and pure. But no man, no woman ever desired God, loved God. No one ever desired holiness. No one ever desired the gospel until God first changed their natures. Take those sinful natures and transform them. Change, you see, into a child of God as opposed to a child of the devil. The gospel, the good news, that's what the Bible's about, you see. And it's the Bible alone, you see, it instructs you in these matters. There is no truth outside of this book, outside of the Bible. All men, God's indictment is, all men are liars. So therefore, only God's word is the truth. But here's the thing, friends, you know. A terrible, terrible guilt is placed upon us because of sin. It's not just, you know, a bad day, a bout of depression. Oh, it does all that to us and more. But it's much, much more than that. The terrible, the awful guilt that is attached to sin. And of course, the final outworking, the consequences of your sin. Not just in this world, for God declares He punishes sin with more sin. The more you involve yourself in sin, the more you take up a life of sin, well, the more and more God gives you over to it. He says, in effect, well, that's what you want, I'll give you more of it. I'll give you over to it. Until, of course, you get to the point where you're past redemption. But, oh, friends, I trust that's not the case with you today, but that you hear the good news, that God awakens you to your danger. Not just of being given over to sin, but the wrath to come, the full final judgment of God that is to come as a result of human sin. In the Bible it says this, you know, concerning the religious men of the days when the Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth. Woe unto you, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. Ye entered not yourselves, and them that were entering in ye hindered. What terrible guilt, all my friends, lies upon those people who hinder others from entering into the kingdom of God. What terrible guilt is bad enough, of course, to give yourself over to a life of sin. Bad enough that you suppress the truth in unrighteousness yourselves. That you call yourselves atheists, secular, or whatever other terminology you care to name. Bad enough that you should shut yourself out of the kingdom of God, but to hinder others, to shut others out from the kingdom of God, that incurs surely a guilt sevenfold, much, much more than even just the guilt of your original sin. So who are those in our world, in our society today, who hinder people from entering into the kingdom of God? Well, those who promote every false way, you know, religious and otherwise. Those who say, well, I can do it myself, thank you very much. I don't need God's help. Religion's just a crutch, you know, for those who can't cope with life. Atheism, friends, is a crutch for those who can't cope with the reality of God. Now, dear friends, those who promote their own way, those who say, I'm told, I don't know if it's true, but I'm told that the most popular song that's sung today at funeral services is the one coined by Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. I don't wonder at that, friends, because it seems to me you all be doing it your own way. But I tell you, your way, whatever it be, if it's not God's way, and God has appointed only one way by which a person can be saved, be right with God, escape the damnation of hell, and that's through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So those who promote every false way, whatever that way might be, religious or otherwise, oh, the guilt upon them. Jesus says, woe unto you, woe unto you. You have taken away the key of knowledge. You entered not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, ye hindered. You promote your own way, some other way, contrary to God's way, contrary to God's salvation, contrary to the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Oh, friends, terrible, terrible guilt attached to such promoters of atheism. And I guess Mr. Dawkins is not the only one. I talked to a gentleman just last Sunday evening up there in Cumbria, and he was telling me how he was converted, how he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation from his sin. He said he was having a bad time. He was very low. And he picked up Mr. Dawkins' book and he began to read it. And his conclusion at the end was, well, if this is true, then life just is not worth living. So instead he turned to the key of knowledge. He turned to the Word of God. And he found life and light and liberty. He found salvation. And now he's full of the joy of the Lord. You see, Mr. Dawkins can't do that. All he can do is produce more misery and unhappiness. But the Word of God, the key of knowledge, oh friends, that leads to life, liberty, and light. So you see, the promoters of atheism, of godlessness, of this so-called theory of evolution, you know? The guilt that lies upon them, woe unto you, says God, you know? You blind other people. You hinder other people from entering into the kingdom of God. And Dawkins isn't the only one. School teachers, university professors, grandparents and parents. Here's the thing, friends, you know? Your mom and dad, your granddad, your grandmother, they might be godless. Doesn't mean to say you have to be. They follow that path. Doesn't mean to say you have to do. They're wicked. You don't have to be wicked. They're evil. You don't have to be evil. Listen, take care to who you listen to, friends. Listen to God's word. That's the wise, that's the best counsel. But friends, you know, there's a day coming when those are going to be brought to justice. Those who have promoted the wrong way, you know, taking away the key of knowledge, the word of God, that is, the word of salvation from others, from children, their own children maybe, those who have the responsibility for, you know, such as teachers and college professors and the writers of books, just like Mr. Dawkins and Mr. Darwin. Oh, I tell you, Mr. Darwin's day of judgment hasn't come yet, it will, because the account has still been reckoned up. People are still reading his unbelieving nonsense. People are still reading his rubbish, and they're being influenced by it in a godless way, in a bad way. They're being hindered from the kingdom of God as a result of his writings and the writings of others. But God will, in that day, God will judge him. The full tally will come in. And I tell you, be a fearful thing for those, woe unto you, you who take the key of knowledge, the word of God, away from others and hinder them from entering the kingdom of God. The promoters of false religion, every cult known to man, your world religions, not an iota of salvation in any one of them, all of them, Mecca, Rome, and everything else in between, nothing, I tell you, but damnation. There is no salvation, I tell you, outside of the gospel of God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's God's way and God's only way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, says Jesus. No other name, says the Bible, given under the entire canopy of heaven whereby a person can be saved. One name only, the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save, not to condemn. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God does not have to condemn you. Jesus does not have to condemn you. I don't have to condemn you. You're already condemned, says God, because you have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the condemnation. You can be all kinds of sinners, atheistic, godless, evolutionary. Ah, you can be a murderer, you can be a child abuser, a rapist, you can be the worst of sinners imaginable. But still there is forgiveness, still there is a way back to God, still those sins can be forgiven, but the capital crime, not believing, rejecting, refusing the key of knowledge, the way into the kingdom of God. The Bible, the Word of God, instructs us in this way how a man or woman can get saved, can get right with God. What must I do to be saved? One man cried out in the Bible, and the answer was given to him plainly and clearly. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. God bless you, sir. So you see, friends, the promoters of false religion the world over, every cult and every sect, all of your world religions, take away the key of knowledge, hinder others from entering into the kingdom of God. Friends, the key of knowledge is the Bible, is the Word of God written, given to you for your comfort and patience, that you might know the way, that you might know the truth, that you might know the life of God in you. Those religions cannot put life into your soul. Bible describes you as being dead, not just a little bit dead, not just a big bit dead, but totally dead in your trespasses and sins. And unless God breathes the breath of life into you, you'll remain as you are, dead in your sin. Ah, friends, can these dead bones live? The prophet asks the question, and the answer is, of course they can. Through faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to give life, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Is that how you would describe yourself this afternoon? As somebody with abundant life in them? Somebody who's living abundantly? Or maybe just coping, maybe just getting by, maybe just scraping through. You know, friends, life is what Jesus came to give us. Life and light and liberty. He is the light of the world. Those who follow Him shall never walk in darkness again. Come out of the darkness into the light. Friends, the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's what takes away the blindness. That's what brings the light that brings salvation. Awake and go to Jesus Christ, and He will give you light. He will give you life. The promoters of apostate religion, those churches throughout your land who have departed from the living Word of God, those who have departed from the statutes, the principles, and the precepts of God's Word, those establishments that call themselves churches, but they've long since departed from the truth as it is in Jesus, the Word of God in the Bible.
Amen.
Friends, there is nothing but confusion as a result of that. Men and women who in churches who don't know the gospel, because the gospel is not declared, the truth is not declared about yourself, about your sin, about your depravity, about your great and urgent need, salvation, to repent and believe the gospel in order that you might be saved. Friends, it's an urgent matter. It always has been. Read the key of knowledge. Read the Word of God for yourself and see the urgency with which God speaks, the urgency with which Jesus Christ teaches. There is an urgency because you just do not know the day, my friends. You don't know what one single day after another is going to bring you. Who knows? But somebody under the sound of my voice this afternoon, and this is the last time that you'll ever hear the overtures of God's love. Last time, maybe your last day on planet Earth. Who knows, friends? Nobody knows when their last hour, their last moment will come. There's a man told of in the Bible by Jesus, and he was a rich, rich man. He had that much of this world's goods, he didn't know what to do with them. And he said to himself, this is what I'll do. I'll bring down all my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And then I'll store all my earthly goods and I'll sit back and I'll say to myself, eat, drink and be merry, because you've got much laid up for many, many years to come. That very night God said to him, thou fool, tonight thy soul shall be required of you. Friends, what if God required your soul of you this night? There's an urgency, friends, and I plead with you. I beseech you, I implore you, on behalf of Jesus Christ, be ye reconciled to God. For there is nothing more important than this, that you know peace with God, that you make peace with God through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for sinners. But here we are, friends, we're in a land today that was once rich with the gospel, that was blessed with the gospel. We've known years of prosperity. They're still with you now. And all this goodness came to you as a result of the gospel coming to this land. That's why you don't live in a country like Saudi Arabia or the United Arab Emirates. That's why you don't live in a country like Syria. That's why you don't live in a country like Iraq, because the gospel came to these shores and drove the paganism out of the place. But now you're going back to it. And now even your churches are going back to it. And now you have a situation where you wouldn't know what church to go into, even if you had the desire to, or what you were going to hear. All manner of rubbish and nonsense. Music, wall to wall, dancing. Oh, they'll feed you, but they won't tell you what kind of a wicked sinner you are. They won't tell you about your deceitful heart. They won't tell you about your desperate wickedness. They won't tell you about your need to repent, deeply, deeply repent, with a broken, sorrowful heart because you've offended the holy love of God. They won't tell you that you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and immediately, in order that you might be saved, delivered from the wrath that's to come. Oh, they won't tell you that. But I will. And as long as I've got a breath in my body, I will tell you. So friends, there are those who have taken away the key of knowledge from you, the Word of God, the message of God's salvation. But we still have the key of knowledge. We still have the Word of God, the Bible, the Scriptures, the written revelation. God's given it to us in writing so that we don't forget it, so we can turn to it, read it again and again and again. For God so loved the world that God devised a plan even before He created the world. Before it all began, God planned all this out, that He would send His only begotten Son into the world. People ask the question, who crucified Jesus? Was it the Jews? Was it the Romans? It was neither. It was God, it was His Father. It was a predetermined counsel of God that Jesus should be slain on the cross because He loved sinners like you so much. It was God's plan, and God has written it down in His Word, and you can read, you can learn about it. If you can't hear it in the church, then get a Bible and read for yourself and see that God planned all these things from before the foundation of the world. And so it came to pass just as God said it would. They took His Son and they nailed Him to a cross. They crucified Him. He was dead and buried, slain by the hands of cruel and wicked men. But all in God's scheme of things, blood shed that you might be washed and made clean, because without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness of sins. But God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice, His own Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And only His blood can wash you. Only His blood can remove your guilt. Only His blood can take away your shame. Only His blood can save you. Blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed for sinners such as you and I. But oh, friends, if you can't hear it in church, don't listen to the naysayers, the promoters of the false ways, the promoters of atheism, nothing but darkness, nothing but despair, nothing but apostasy there. Friends, the Word of God, the living Word of God, that's your only hope. That's the only hope of this nation. That's the only hope of any nation, all the nations. Jesus Christ Himself is the key that unlocks the door of the Scriptures and gives you understanding of them. You go to Him, you say, I can't understand them. Of course you can't. Your mind's darkened, blinded by sin. But go to Christ and He'll give you life, the Bible says. And He'll give you light. He'll give you understanding. Ask Him to give you the light. Ask Him to give you the understanding. Friends, He is the key. He is the way into the Word of God. He's the way into the salvation of God. He's the way to heaven. He's the way back to God from sin's dark path. Jesus Christ is the way, and He's the only way. There is no other way, no other name, friends. Only Jesus. Proper knowledge, you see, proper knowledge that opens up the kingdom of God, that gives you understanding. Jesus says, except a man be born again, he can't see, he can't understand. You know, because naturally born, we're all born stupid. We're all born in sin. We're all born in darkness. Come into the world as a little bitty child with your fist raised in your Maker's face. That's how you begin life. And unless there comes a time, I tell you, when you've been born again, the day will come when you'll wish you'd never been born at all. Oh, dear friend, you must be. Jesus says so. You must be born again. Except a man be born again, he can't see, he can't understand the kingdom of God. Never mind enter into it. So it's Christ, it's to Him that you must go. Jesus Christ, Him and Him alone can open the door. The door that's shut, the door that's locked, the door that's barred to you, that you can't enter in. You come to God's kingdom and then the door is shut. How can you, a sinner, enter into God's heaven the way that you are? How can you, unclean, defiled by sin, how can you ever ascend the holy hill of God? The psalmist, he asked the question, who shall ascend the holy hill of the Lord? And he answers, he says, he who is of clean hands and a clean heart. Well, how can you clean your heart? How can you wash your heart? What would make it clean? What would make it pure? What would take all the ugly, sinful, wicked, evil thoughts out of your heart? You know, in your heart you find the same things if you look. In your heart you find the same things that you condemn others for. You know, you pick up your newspaper and you say he ought to be hung. He ought to be locked up and the key thrown away. But in your heart's the same vileness. In your heart's the same wickedness that you condemn other people for. So how can you change that? How can you clean it? How can you purify your own heart? Go into any shop in Stafford, ask them for some commodity that will wash your heart and make it pure and clean so that you can go to God. And they'll laugh you out the place. They'll tell you there's no such thing. But they're wrong. They're wrong, there is. There's the blood of God's Son, Jesus Christ, shed to wash the sinner's heart. Shed to wash you and make you clean. All who come to Him. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? You washed in the blood of the Lamb? Your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you haven't, you're not fit for God. You're not fit for His kingdom. The door's shut. The door's barred. It's closed to you. You can't enter in. You can't ascend the holy hill of the Lord until your heart's been purified, cleansed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Till your hands are clean too. You clean a man's heart, you clean his hands. You don't need to wash his hands. You purify the heart, you make the hands good. You change the nature, you see, you make the nature good and the practice is good. But here's the thing, you see, because you're born in sin, because you're conceived in sin, because you've got a wicked, sinful nature, your practices are likewise. As is the heart, so is the practice. As is the heart, so are the hands. Cleanse ye hands, ye sinners. Cleanse your heart, ye sinners. And be reconciled to God in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. But oh, how many people are hindered today from entering God's kingdom. Nations, families, men of all kinds, shapes and sizes and backgrounds. The offer of God's salvation is still declared amongst you, still offered to you, still declared amongst you, even here this afternoon. But oh, friends, men are hindered, nations are hindered, families are hindered or kept from the kingdom of God because of promoters of false ways, because of people who promote godless atheism, people who promote false and idolatrous religion, promoters of apostate religion, even apostate Christianity even. But the key of knowledge is still available to you. The word of God that would make you wise unto salvation. If you would but read, if you would but meditate, if you would but believe, God promises, his declaration is, you shall be saved. Word of God, friends, it's a great, great treasure. It's offered to you this afternoon, free of charge, no cost to you. Some people, of course, they hinder others by reducing the Bible to a set of religious rules. They put legal burdens upon people that they can't bear themselves, never mind other people. The gospel, God's salvation, is not about keeping rules. It's not about legalism. It's not about keeping commandments. God is sending his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh, did so in order to accomplish what the keeping of commandments could never do. You never could be saved, made right with God by keeping God's commandments. They weren't given for that reason, that purpose. They were given to teach you what kind of a sinner you are. They were given to instruct you as your great need outside of yourself. Nothing that you can do. Bible God declares that no flesh shall ever be justified in his sight by the keeping of the law, the commandments of God. That would be an impossibility for you anyway, because of your sinful nature. Now, dear friends, it's grace that you need, not laws, not rules, not regulations. It's the free grace of God offered to you in Christ Jesus. The wonderful free grace of God without price and without money. Come by, says the Lord. The free grace of God, the wonderful, wonderful, undeserved favor of God. Here you are, a sinner this afternoon, and instead of punishment, instead of sending you back to the law to keep the commandments, to get it right, God offers you his grace. He offers you his Son, Jesus Christ. His undeserved favor, his acceptance. Because of what Jesus has done. Because of what the Lord Jesus Christ himself has accomplished. He paid the price for sin. He died. He took the wrath of God that was due to the sins of the world upon Himself in order that repentant and believing sinners might walk away from their sin and walk into the arms of the lovely, lovely Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Be saved, friends. Salvation, not religion. Salvation's what the Bible's about. The grace of God in Jesus Christ that has appeared to all men, all kinds of men, all kinds of sinners, rich ones and poor ones. Thank you, sir. Rich ones and poor ones, fat ones and thin ones. Matters not what your background be, how dirty, dangerous, and dark your sins be. I tell you, there's no sin deeper than the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Friends, He is the way, and He is the only way. The promise of forgiveness has not been lost. In spite of all the false teachers, in spite of all the promotion of atheism, the promise of forgiveness has not been lost. It may be, maybe that you have a Bible at home and it's buried under, you know, a pile of dust, or maybe some other rubbish. Dust it off, take it down from the shelf, read for yourself and see the promise of forgiveness is not lost. And that's the heart of the gospel, friends. The good news concerning Jesus Christ. The forgiveness of God. Reconciliation to God. Hope, friends, for this world and for the world to come. But oh, friends, the key of knowledge. Knowledge is found in the Word of God. And Jesus is the key that opens them up. Opens up the Scriptures to you. So I implore you this afternoon, don't allow people to rob you. You know, your heritage. This nation's heritage is the gospel. A nation covenanted to God some 400 years ago. The light hasn't gone out yet. Don't let people, with their promotions of that which is false and apostate, don't let them rob you of the truth that would liberate you, set you free, and grant you entrance into the kingdom of God. Grasp hold by faith of the key, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Words of the Lord Jesus, first words of Jesus recorded in the New Testament are these: repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. That's why. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from sin's penalty, its wages are still death. Not just physical death, but eternal, the second death. The lake of fire, the Bible describes it. Oh, sin feels like freedom, doesn't it? When you first take off, you say, I can control the booze, I can control the drugs, I can control the immorality, it won't control me, and off you go. It's like a roller coaster ride. Oh, it feels like freedom, but it's not, because it doesn't bring you back to where you started again. It dumps you off in a lake of fire. Oh, dear friends, the Word of God, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved from sin's penalty and from its power and from its presence that permeates your world, your society, your homes, your own hearts and lives. Salvation from a certain, a sure, a known danger. The enemy within your own sinful, wicked heart, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus, that is, shall be saved. So as I say, the first recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament, repent, a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of direction. You turn from sin and you turn to Jesus, the only Savior. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Stafford. For the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word, knowledge that leads to salvation. New Testament in its entirety is offered to